Hannah, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. The website is irishholocaust.org, and I hope that people will order the book, Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust, and Who Kept It Perfect, quote unquote. Okay, let's take a caller. We have Kent in West Virginia. Kent.
Yeah, hi, Deanna. Hi. Yeah, this is very interesting because I actually, you know my last name. It's sort of an Irish name, but I actually lived in Ireland about 25 years ago. I lived there for 5 years, and he was speaking about not wanting to recognize the graves and this sort of thing. Well, when I lived there, I went over there as a tour, first of all. You know, I was a tourist, and I had a green sweater. I'd go out into the pubs, and they'd talk to the people, and they'd look at me and say, they knew I was an American, but they said, well, what are you wearing green for? And there was a intense effort to downplay nationalism in the form of the green, and you'd see posters, tourist posters, and there was nothing green. There was like pictures of the Cliffs of Moher, these sorts of things, and they're all sort of dark and gloomy. And I left about the time I could see that the creeping in of this capitalist wave that created this Celtic tiger. It was just creeping in just as I was leaving. Like they were building on the little village I had lived there. There were the beautiful green hills. There was houses there, and in Dublin there was building this International Finance Center on the north side of the Liffey, and I could see what was coming. And of course, then I left. But the place was crawling with cops. I mean, we in America have the notion that the Irish, this is stereotype in the old movies. But I mean, everybody there, everywhere you went, they would say that you plug somebody in the bar and says, this person's in the branch, that person's in the branch, you point out. Or they had a cousin or a brother in the branch. And when I got back to West Virginia, I was talking to Hilton. There was an Irish girl lived up the neighboring town, and I was talking to this hillbilly, and he says he's talking about this girl, and he says her brother's in the branch. So she was living in the United States, talking to local people, bragging on that her brother was in the branch. Of course, he didn't know what the branch was. If you'd have told him, well, that was like the FBI, he wouldn't have. That would have changed his opinion or something like that. So, but the interesting thing is, they brought in this wave of this capitalist wave, and the bankers took over and wreaked havoc. And the interesting thing is, back in the you have the old pictures of the out in the west of Ireland, the old stone cottages with thatch removed, and these were from the relics of the. The Holocaust, as he calls it, and I agree. And now what you have over there is these housing estates around Dublin, I'm sure all over the country, where all this financial craziness went on, and they were just building houses, housing estates everywhere, and then all of a sudden everything went bust. And so now there's these modern 20th century, 21st century houses that are partially completed, just like the old relics from the old stone cottages.
Any comments, Chris?
Yes, in fact, he's describing Ireland as it has become. That's exactly right. People are afraid, and but it's a pity. The United States, I grieve maybe more for the United States than I do for Ireland, because the Irish never were free. They never were free to speak their minds in Ireland, but Americans used to be. And that Americans have become like the Irish, or like any defeated people, it really distresses me quite a bit, because America was known throughout the world as a good phrase for them was tough customers. You had to persuade them, and they didn't take nonsense. They would respond immediately to nonsense. They'll accept anything now, anything that comes from the government. They just, whether they know it's a lie or not, they don't react. Now, I must say, On the day after shock and awe, my wife and I were with 15,000 more that started in Federal Plaza in Chicago and went out to Lakeshore Drive and walked north along Lakeshore Drive, blocking it. And however, we got off as we were passing by our building. And we didn't know why the cops did not want to allow us to leave. But I had to get a white-shirted policeman to tell two blue-shirted ones to let us off at the Navy Pier exit ramp. So we got off there, went home. We saw, looked down, saw the people passing on up around the corner of the shoulder of Lakeshore Drive. And they were all attacked by the police. 780 were arrested that night. Many had their heads split and their legs broken and their sound equipment all smashed to pieces, rented sound equipment all smashed to pieces by the police. It turns out that there was a few million dollars paid out to those same people. They were paid at three levels of payment, some $1,500 with the lowest level, $7,500 was another amount, and then the highest amount paid was $15,000 if they were locked up overnight and went to a hearing in the morning. But that was in Chicago. Some 15,000 people stood up against the shock and awe, the attack on Iraq. And so there were that many, at least. And you'd want, but that, at that time, and from then on, all of the support, it was all support the troops. It had nothing to do with the basis for the crime in the first place, but it all became about the troops. So we are faced with a shockingly criminal government and run by the neocons. And I frankly, we'll keep going, we'll keep working. I don't think it's going to end well. I think that there's going to be bloodshed in order to achieve an end of it. I'd like to hear the take of your listeners on this.
Indeed. Okay, Kent. Yep. Any other comments?
Yeah, the thing that I remember is that when I was over there, I had heard that at that time Israel was not even at that time the church still had influence, and the Ireland did not even recognize the state of Israel. And I think probably when Billy Clinton went over there, and I'm sure that part of the peace deal was that they had to recognize Israel, and they had a man named Shatter, Alan Shatter, over there who was Jewish. And he had sort of like he had more power, I think, than even the prime minister, or the Taoiseach, as you call it. And, I mean, it would be like having he would be like the Secretary of the Department of Justice and the Department of Defense. And, I mean, he had incredible power, you know. So, you know, they've just been taken over. And now I actually... I lived in a town, and there was a guy named Drum, who was one of the bankers who brought about the collapse. And I actually knew his father. I didn't know him, but I would go into a friend of mine over there. We got to a pub, and his name was Ken Drum. And, you know, I'm American, and I felt like I wanted to, because he knew more about America than I did, or anybody, or George Washington did. And he would just bump and pound and beat his chest about America, and he beat that into his kids. I knew one of the kids, and so they were so fixated on everything in Chicago, and when they brought in all this capitalism stuff, they just went for it, hook, line, and sinker. And now they're reduced to the point where they're having to pay water charges when the water falls from the sky free almost every day, you know, and they're just,
right.
You know, the people are just sort of, they've got them cornered, like, it's terrible.
Indeed.
That's it. That same Alan Shatter accused the Irish of not having adequate memorials across Ireland for what he calls the Holocaust. And I have a question for Irish people that they should respond to him with. Where are the Israeli commemorations, memorials to the Irish Holocaust?
Yeah, exactly. They didn't even want to recognize the Armenian slaughter.
Yeah.
They only want word to only apply to them.
But how do they get so many people of other nationalities to buy in to their usurpation?
Because they run the media in many of the countries.
Yes, that must be that. That has to be the answer, I suppose.
Sure.
But your picture, what you picked up in Ireland, Mister, it just matches my grasp of it. Also, the same kind of a situation. The timidity is really shocking. But I was raised there. I was aware of it. In fact, it's rather like, to put the best possible face on Irish timidity in Ireland, is I also worked for a corporation in the United States for some years. And country living in Ireland, where you're with the same people on a permanent basis, you know them all, they know everything about you, you act in a way that's different than if you were anonymous in a city like I am now. And in a corporation, you tend to smile a lot and you go along, and it's really pathetic, and you tend to not have any political ideas, or at least you don't mention them because of the corporate ethos. You just avoid any difference.
Sure.
And, so actually living in maybe it might be true in all rural communities. They might be like corporate life in that you don't wake any waves.
Indeed. All righty. Thanks, Kent.
All right, thanks.
All righty. Take care. Let's take Fred in Iowa. Fred?
Yeah, Deanna and Chris, can you hear me okay?
We sure can, Fred. Thank you.
Okay, in the late 1600s, 1700s, the Dutch and the French Huguenots left Europe for South Africa. And they were Calvinists, which I don't exactly agree with the Calvinists. During that period, Europeans, mainly English and Germans in 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, were leaving Europe for the same reason as the Huguenots, religious persecution.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that the Irish genocide, and that's what it was, helped and aided and abetted by England. But who was controlling England and Europe? Now, the English people, and also, as I mentioned before, the Germans, were leaving Europe to escape religious persecution. In other words, the Holy Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason for the Holocaust in Ireland, this may sound strange, but to drive Irish Catholics, which were very devout, to the New World, or the United States. And they, like you said, lived in small villages, and everybody knew everybody. Everybody went to the same church. Everybody thought the same thing. You followed like little soldiers, a little robot. And a lot of Irish settled in the South. Now, I could go on and explain all this for a long time, but I'll close for now and consider what I said. And thank you, and both of you have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too.
I think you're probably referring to the bankers, the mortgage holders of the English landlords in Ireland. I have not made a major point of this in my book, but I do quote, for example, John Mitchell, who describes a typical situation of a farmer who sows and reaps six stacks of what they call corn over there. Corn is any grain crop. What we call corn here is maize over there. In any event, he's got six stacks of saved corn in his haggard. And the landlord, maybe, he says, could justify taking three of them, but he takes three for himself, and then for his Jewish banker, he takes another one, and takes another one to pay the army to support him, and takes another one to pay off some politicians. taking all six of them, leaving the growers to starve to death. That indicates to me that the English landlords in Ireland, knowing that they had gotten the land by crime, always knew they could only hold on to it for so long. And because they didn't know when it would be taken back away from them, they milked the property, the same as any slumlord would do in a city. And they mortgaged it to the hilt. And those mortgage holders were Jews, Rothschild-related frequently. And they may have called the shots as to how to extract money from the Irish people, which was to rob them of their output. That's something that my book does not go into in great depth, but it's, and I don't know where I can get the information on it, but it's got to be available, and I think that you might be onto something, mister. Thank you.
All righty. Let's take Werner. Werner, welcome.
Good evening, Jan, and you know, it's very much appreciated that you take the stance for people who don't have any representation anywhere in the mainstream media, and their plight is mainly being pushed underneath the carpet.
That's it, yes.
And the same situation is still going on hundreds of years later. And as I say, I hate bringing it always up again, but I've been living it all my life. When I left Germany, the farmers were at the dirty end of the stick, and they were basically superfluous. They were not needed anymore. Modern agriculture, with all the capital investments, that was the way to go, with all the chemicals and everything. And we see what they achieved with this drive to modern agriculture. The nations in Western Europe and Central Europe who prescribe to this recipe, they are all dying nations. And the same thing is still going on here in New North America, and especially here on the East Coast. As soon as the government and its experts follow up the agenda of the global plan, this region here in Canada and in the United States is importing over 90% of its food. And they achieved it by hook and by crook. And the government, provincially and federally, in the state government and United States government, they have been, what I've documented, they have been part of a criminal enterprise and criminal cover-up. But most of the people, they live in hunky-dory land. They don't give a damn, you know. Oh, be quiet. We never might get it as good again. But the time is running out here now.
Yes, it is indeed.
And it came to my mind, I spoke out for Vernon Wagner in Park County in 2010, a rancher who got shafted the same way in order to get him off his land lease because the federal government had different intentions for that land, and they used hook and crook, they used the courts and everything they could drum up, judicial horse for hire, scientific horse for hire, media horse for hire, in order to make the case. And the people bought it hook, line, and sinker. And if they don't start waking up, the people get exactly what they deserve. And I'm sorry of the people who stood up, you know, and put their neck on the line, like Diana and you, Mr. Fogarty, and so many others.
Okay, you know? Gentlemen, we do have to take a real quick break. We will be right back in 3 minutes.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information. This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is IrishHolocaust.org, and I hope that the listeners will order your book. And we do have some other callers. I believe Werner is no longer with us in the...
Yeah,
Oh, you are. Okay. That sounded kind of ominous. I didn't mean to put it that way.
Just only, Diana, just one last word. There's this old saying, be beware of Greeks bearing gifts.
How true. How true. And you can certainly say that Monsanto fits in that category. Right?
Isn't that the truth?
Monsanto, and this has been a long time in the making. The traditional sustainable farmers that were producing a healthy food for the population, they have been driven out by all kinds of dirty tricks, and one of them was by dousing their land without their knowledge with all kinds of chemicals to destroy their field crops and make their soil infertile. And
sure.
In order to push them into the Monsanto agenda, to spread the contamination of invasive wheat species. And by hook and by crook, forcing the farmers into the government-pushed agenda.
Exactly. Well, that's what the English did in the Boer Wars. They poured salt all over the land to destroy farmland, viable farmland. Yeah, that's what they do. They either send us snow, 10-foot snowdrifts or whatever. That's what, or mudslides. They do whatever they do.
And they have now so many more means in their arsenal of dirty tricks that never were there about 100 years ago or 200 years ago. But it
exactly.
is still the same goal, working toward globalization and usher in their satanic utopia. on this planet.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Werner. We always appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty, let's take Charles in St. Petersburg.
Hi,
Charles.
Diana and Deanna and Chris Fogarty. Chris, I read your article years ago in the Barnes Review and familiar with your work and kind of interesting. I didn't know your full. Another thing about Ireland, I've read in the one site from the United Kingdom called The Truth Seeker, one of their videos they had on there about Ireland is actually worse than England and Scotland now. It's just filling up with third worlders, especially Dublin.
Yes.
You know, in many cities in England, they have these no-go areas like in the Midlands, you know, that's what America will have here, you know, where the Muslims just, police don't go in them, you know, they're just, you can't go in them if you're not a fellow Muslim. They have all these different third, you know, the IRA, or Sinn Féin, the head of that, I turned against ever supporting that when I saw him kissing some black coming into to Ireland, you know, I can't think of his name, the head of Sinn Féin.
Jerry Adams, I suppose.
Jerry Adams, yeah. Oh, God. You know what the trick the spatial branch and Ulster Constabulary and what's the thing with the equivalent of the FBI? That's the spatial branch,
MI5.
MI5 operates in some...
Yeah, special branch in Ireland. Special branch are plainclothes cops, yeah.
Right, yeah, but all of them just operate. They bomb both sides. They try to get the orange Irish against the green Irish, Irish Catholic against... And get him to bomb both sides and get them to fight each other, but it's actually just
doing.
Run by...
Exactly.
You know who the tribe is behind it all, behind the British or English ruling class, and the Americans are ruling class. One thing that impressed me, people don't know about England or the British Isles or Europe, is ground rent. I had a friend in the Irish Society here in St. Petersburg, Florida, that... got freehold of her Irish land in Ireland. She had to pay the equivalent of $60,000 to freehold land. You know, these aristocratic families own the land and that it left 200 years ago. Or they're still paying ground rent to them. Yeah, in England,
Indeed.
It's the same way.
Indeed. All righty, gentlemen, we are going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Did you want me to hang on? Or
if you have some other questions or comments, please feel free to hang on.
Sure.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you have
have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutritious meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Christopher Fogarty. His website is Irish Holocaust, and he has a fabulous book that everyone should own. And Charles, you had a couple more comments that you would like to make?
Yeah, I don't know if your guest, Chris, has heard of William Cobbett. He was a writer in the 1820s that was very, very famous. He described the Bank of England racket. He's sort of like Eustace Mullins describing who was behind it in his book, The Protestant Reformation. And it's very interesting, you know, the whole racket of war and debt, you know, that the Bank of England, which is the forerunner of all the things like the Federal Reserve in this country, or these...
Yes, and, Robert, William Cobbett was a British MP from Oldham, and he visited Ireland, and he was a magnificent man. He described how when he was in the British Army in New Brunswick in Canada during the American Revolution, the 260,000 people fled the new United States and moved up there, and every single one of them, he said, would have died but for the importation of food from Ireland that was taken from the Irish people while they were dying of starvation. But he was in Ireland. He was a beautiful, beautiful man. He described the conditions under which the town of Middleton in East County Cork were living in absolute misery, on the edge of death, by their owner, who had another estate near them outside Oldham in England. and his name was in Pepper Harrow nearby, and it's shocking that you had this one Englishman speaking out about something that was going on at the time. And by the way, he was the same person who repeatedly said that if the people of England only knew what their government was doing in Ireland, that they would bring an end to it. So there are good people everywhere. And what I've written about...
His tutor for his child, for William Cobbett's child, was Father O'Callaghan, and he was a big opponent in the Catholic Church of usury. The Catholic Church had, since 1515 has abandoned this condemnation of usury, and he wanted them to bring it back. I don't know if you're aware of that.
No, but I'll find out.
Yeah, Father O'Callaghan.
Thank you. I'll look it up. I've just written it down.
William Cobbett's children.
Wow.
And he was very pro-Catholic, He was a debunker of the stories of so-called persecution of Protestants during the time of, Elizabeth or Mary.
1641,
and of course, Queen Elizabeth I was a big persecutor, almost as bad as Cromwell, even though she was part Irish. She was a butler, her family and
I didn't know that. Good for you.
What is it, the Kilkenny or County Kilkenny?
Yeah, the butlers were in Kilkenny. Indeed, they were. Yeah, indeed, they were.
Yeah, a lot of Norman families settled there. They tried to keep themselves separate from
To this very day, the density of the Norman population within the Irish population, again, is densest near the port where they entered in Waterford, in Waterford and Wexford, where they entered the country. And the farther you get away from the point of their entry into Ireland, the thinner their numbers become. Isn't that amazing? After 800 years.
Well, it was like 100 years after 1066. It took almost 100 years for the Normans to take over England, Scotland, Wales, and Cornwall.
Yes.
But it took another 100 years for Strongbow and his people after they'd worked to take over Ireland. I don't know if you're familiar with Strongbow, the Norman leader.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah.
Declare. Yes.
And anyway.
By the way, it might interest you and the listeners to know that King Leopold I, while he was still a prince, was the uncle to Queen Victoria. And as she became literate about the age of 6 or 7, he started to tutor her by letter from Belgium, where he lived most of the time. And she was in London. And he tutored her all the way through until he died. And he also tutored his son, Leopold II of Belgium. Under his guidance, Queen Victoria perpetrated the Irish Holocaust, and under his guidance, his son, Leopold II, perpetrated the destruction of the people in the Central African Republic.
Right. They say Queen Victoria had a very strong guttural German accent. They never show her that way. Ich bin not amused, she would probably said in reality.
Yes.
Instead of, I am not amused.
Yes.
Well, anyway, thank you, Charles. We do have to move on.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. I think Fred called back in. He has another question or comment. Fred?
Hello, Chris. Diane, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes, Fred.
Yeah, thank you very much. I usually don't call back, but I'm so controversial, I don't have a chance to dialogue. I'll try to be brief, but it's controversial. Okay, I am in no way standing up for Jewish bankers. No way. And also, I am not condemning or against Catholics, just Catholics. They are a beautiful people. They are a devout people. and they're living up to what they have been taught to the extent of their knowledge. The Jewish bankers are the bankers for the most powerful system on earth, which is the Roman Vatican. And when, for the first 50 years of this nation, the United States, Catholics were banned from coming here. Now, that sounds bad, but there's a reason for it. They didn't want to see the Roman Vatican system get set up in the United States. So they had, not Catholics, but the power, the system, the Catholic Roman Vatican system, had to get in there as they could get a toehold. This was founded as a Christian nation with Christian principles. Now, I am not saying that all Christians done the right thing when they got here, especially with the Indians. But this, and I'm controversial, and I rarely get this much time, and I'll get off here in a little bit. I have nothing against Catholic people per se, and I want that known. And I do not agree or go along with the so-called Jewish bankers, which are the Vatican bankers. And I won't take up any more time, but thank you and have a good day. Unless you want to ask me some questions.
Thank you very much.
I'm good. Thank you, Fred.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, regarding whether this nation was set up as a Christian nation, it was set up by a bunch of Freemasons, and I think that we need to recognize that Freemasonry is not Christianity. And I think
they describe themselves as theists.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And the other thing too is that while the early people did not want the Catholics in, and it's interesting that they brought all of these Irish people in, but they welcomed the Jews very early on.
It's my understanding that Newport, Rhode Island, was the chief area for the slave trade. It was a Jewish colony at the time.
It was, absolutely. Jewish power in America began in August 1790 when George Washington visited Newport, Rhode Island. And the Jews from the local synagogue handed him a letter praising the God of Israel for establishing an unbiased government, meaning the United States. And so, yes, the government invited the Jews in, and they were the people who owned the ships, who were engaged in the slave trade. They were engaged on the African continent with slavery. They were running the whole thing. It was the triple trade. I mean, they were selling rum, they were bringing in sugar, they were doing the whole thing. It was amazing.
Yeah, the English royal family also had the corporations set up for slave trading.
Exactly.
They operated mostly out of Bristol, London, and then Liverpool.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, it's so sad. It's so it rips our guts.
Yes, it really does. Really does. And the slave trade. I covered a lot of this in my first book in my trilogy about how things got carried away early on, about the Marxist infiltration in America before the so-called Civil War. You know, there was all kinds of false flags, there was warfare. I mean, even the Mexican War. It just goes back to the very beginning, where there was where the objective seemed to be the resources of other areas, and they chased the Native Americans from their land if they found that it had resources that they wanted. It's always all about resources and about money, and
yes.
we all need the resources, but yes. but countries such as Iraq,
yes,
saying felt that the resources for that country should be used and be of benefit to the residents of that country. And
exactly.
And
by the
way, go ahead.
For the first couple of hundred years that the Irish came into the States, they were non-persons. Under the
absolutely.
Union Jack, under the Union Jack, they were non-persons. They had no legal personhood. And so the murder of an Irish person was a non-event. It did not involve the law because it was not murder. They would have to be persons to be murderable, and being legally non-persons, it had no effect upon the law. That's why the U.S. Revolution was so important to the Irish in America. And also, it set a wonderful example in Ireland itself. My book contains a couple of letters by Bishop Troy of the Diocese of Ossory. That's all of Kilkenny, part of Laois, a little bit of Tipperary, and part of Offaly County, in which he's telling people, don't get carried away with those ungrateful people in America who are disdaining the solicitude of Mother England and get misled and run into trouble, because we must remain loyal at all times. Really, really pathetic.
Yeah.
And by the way, he denounces, he calls for the expulsion by bell, book, and candle of anyone who is opposed to British rule in Ireland. So that's kind of... in the same vein, this little modern fact might interest listeners. There's a Father Sheehy who founded a parish in Venice, Florida, many years ago. He's from Chicago originally, of Irish parents, father from Limerick, mother from Northwest Mayo. After reading my book, he decided that he wanted to put up a memorial over the Holocaust mass grave nearest to his mother's birthplace, right beside his mother's birthplace. And he contacted the monument maker in that town with whom he had done business before for putting up monuments, and his cousin, who still lives there. And he wasn't getting a reply, and he kept pushing and was not getting... So finally, months later, his cousin wrote to him and said, I won't name the priest because it's an evil situation, and I hope, and I wouldn't want the whole church blamed for the crimes and sins of one bad priest, but his cousin said, Father so-and-so says, all right, go ahead if you must with your memorial, but carve famine into that stone and nothing else. So Father Sheehy won't bear false witness against everyone piled into a mass grave. And so the memorial is at a standstill. It is not being built because the one priest won't bear false witness and the other insists upon false witness. Amazing, isn't it? A fight between two priests?
If they were both Jews, I mean, you know, there would be a fight. But, it is kind of amazing that they're not more cohesive.
Regarding the man who spoke about Cobbett, I am so taken by that wonderful, wonderful English man, and all of it. He wrote three books that I know of. In fact, I possess three of them. One is an original from the 1820s about his advocacy of the Scottish, telling them to be careful that what is ongoing in Ireland already. This is before the Holocaust. Is also planned for Scotland and for England, and so both the English and the Scots should defy and try to stop what is being done in Ireland, because it'll be coming to them before long.
Sure,
he seems to have been effective. This is very interesting how that kind of a person was effective even in those years. So even though it was a strict monarchy at the time, it seems that public opinion did have some effect even then.
Yes, yeah. It is unfortunate that people can't work together, because there are more of us than there are of them. them being, and it's just unfortunate. But it's their sphere of influence that is so pervasive, and when you look at the things that they engage in, look at the corporations that they own, look at the sports teams that they own, look at Hollywood movie theaters and production that they own. So I mean, it's just like I say, pervasive.
In the same vein, the amount of money in circulation has, I think, about doubled in the last decade, and the new half of that, the new half of that has all gone to the same people.
Sure,
it was never earned. It was never earned. It was given away.
Exactly. All righty, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Deanna, and we have one last phone call. Let's take John real quick in Arlington. Okay, John, welcome.
Hello, the connection wasn't too good. I have a question concerning, you mentioned Leopold II and the genocide in the Belgian Congo. Yeah. I have a question relating to that. You know about Hillary Kaprowski and his chat oral vote? Oral polio vaccine.
Yes?
I want to know, just how is it you know about Ed Hooper and his book, The River, meaning the Lindy River? and how Kaprowski was shown to have used chimpanzees to culture his vaccines.
Okay, let's let Chris address those questions. I'm not sure they're relevant.
I'd like to wrap up by saying that there was no such thing as a famine in Ireland. Not what we call a famine was a genocide, and it took more than half the British Army to perpetrate it. That's the main message here, and that was 65 British regiments removed the food of Ireland, the abundant crops, the livestock, the poultry and dairy products, the vegetables, fruits and vegetables were all moved out of Ireland at gunpoint by the British Army. 65 regiments of a total British Army of 130 regiments, over half that army. That was the main message I did want to get out here. And thank you very much, Deanna.
Indeed. Okay. And that is your message, the message of the website, Irish Holocaust. It's also the message of your wonderful, wonderful book. And the name of that book is Ireland, 1845 to 1850, The Perfect Holocaust, and Who Kept It Perfect. Everybody from Ireland should own this book. Well, even if you're not from Ireland, we'd like you to own this book and read it, because it's coming to a country near you. Correct?
Thank you very much, Deanna. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for your courage, and after all you've been through.
Yeah, we'll stay with it. We'll stay with it, because we must stop genocide as government policy. We must end it as available government policy. And by exposing past ones, we might be able to preclude all future ones. That's what we're aiming at anyways, Deanna. And your help, your airtime here is very important, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you being on the program, and appreciate your book, appreciate you writing it, and it's great. We need to have lunch sometime.
I'll reach you by email or phone or somehow. I'll have to find a way to reach you, and we'll get together. And that's just wonderful. I so admire your work.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I really admire your work, and thank you so very, very much. And remember, listeners, get the book. There's a link on the website, on his and on mine, where you can buy the book, and it would make a perfect gift. Anyway, thank you, listeners, for listening today, and thank you so much. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye, Chris. Bye-bye, Rich. Bye-bye, listeners.
Favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round. And for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Naturesyouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.